This is the Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Brian Rusk.
We have a gentleman on the program. I went to high school with him. I'm a few years older than him, and he's now in the Williamsville South High School Wall of Fame. Very bright, talented businessman, and you know him from WBEN with Hammer Time, which has been an institution in Buffalo radio. We're going to be talking about electrification of homes, and he had a wonderful program with popular Congressman Nick Langworthy on this topic, and we're going to talk about it for 27 minutes. Little information about Dominic Cortese, president of Cortese Construction Service Corporation. The business was founded by Dominic's dad and uncle in 51 and currently is owned and operated as a third-generation business. Dominic is best known for his radio call-in show on WBEN Radio, our sister station, 9:30 a.m., Hammer Time Radio with Dominic Cortese. His radio show has been on the air since 1989 and can be heard each Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Dominic is also the host of TV show Hammer Time TV, which airs on YouTube. He does a lot for the community. He does a lot for the Rotary Club and a lot of other charities in West New York. Our guest today, Dominic Cortese. Let's talk about this consumer choice with electrification. It sounds like this whole idea is taking away the choice of consumers and ramming something down their throats. Could you tell us about that, Dominic Cortese?
Yeah, absolutely, Brian. Thank you for inviting me. There's no question this is a story of the lack of choice and a mandate that is being put forth, a mandate that doesn't have really the backing of any common sense. You can talk to anybody in public utilities, and I have, from NYSEG to National Grid to National Fuel, and they will all tell you that there's no backbone to this electrification movement. It doesn't have substance. It doesn't have the infrastructure in place to be able to sustain what they're actually mandating that we do as of January 1st. As of January 1st of 26, any new home built in New York State has to be 100% electric. That's on the books. It's official. It's happening January 1st, unless something gets in the way of it from occurring, which we're hopeful for. There's not a home builder in New York State that would agree that they're ready. You can talk to home builders about the idea of powering up an electric home. It's going to require a 400-amp electric service. A lot of neighborhoods that are being built today don't have the capacity for a 400-amp electric service. The transformers aren't geared for that. They're not set up for that. So we're setting ourselves up for a failure beyond belief.
Let's talk a little bit about fairness. How is this fair to millions of people who have gas heat, gas stoves, gas water heaters, and it's okay for them to have gas, but it's wrong for them to have it in their homes after January 1st, 2026. Isn't this discrimination, Dominic Cortese?
The good news is that this doesn't affect existing homes yet. That mandate's coming, though. As of right now, the mandate that we're faced with, imminent one, is for new homes only. But in 2030, the restriction spreads to existing homes. And really, Brian, at that point, we're talking about a Gestapo state where Big Brother is going to be running our lives with when it comes to utility consumption. In 2030, the proposal, and hopefully this is going to be reversed, and you know, there's no way to know where we're headed. But right now, the hope is that the electrification movement will spread to existing homes. And when you go to replace your furnace in 2030, your hot water tank, you won't be able to. You'll have to do it with an electric model. So, you know, we have time between now and then. The most immediate threshold for concern is what's happening January 1. We're hopeful even that could be slowed down. What's missed here, really, is the idea that, you know, electrification isn't necessarily bad. Of course, the infrastructure is not in place to sustain it. But we don't ever talk about a blended approach to energy production. We don't talk about thinking a little bit out of the box of everything that could be put in the mix to create power. Natural gas, very dependable, very reliable, actually very clean, and it doesn't go out in a power outage, is the number one source of generating electricity. Now, the true irony here is we're not going to move away from that being the number one source of generating electricity. Second, you know, coal has been put by the wayside. There's some talk about bringing coal back. Nuclear power, some talk about energizing that. Renewables fall to the very bottom of the list of productive means of generating electricity, wind and solar. But we don't talk about the idea of maybe blending everything together under one canopy, of looking at different approaches that can be worked in tangent with each other. The idea of maybe blending hydrogen into natural gas. So this is really the direction that we should be going in, instead of saying everything has to be electric.
Let's talk about Albany. It's sort of unbelievable that Kathy Hochul's from Western New York, and we're so dependent on natural gas here for our heat and for our stoves, and now she's going against something so fundamental and needed in Western New York. Do you have legislators, perhaps like Paul Bologna, in your area where you have your business? Do you have people like Gallivan and Bologna and Ort who are behind this effort to keep natural gas in homes for decades to come? Are you getting support, Dominic Cortese?
Those three names you mentioned, thank God for them, Pat Gallivan, Paul Bologna, Rob Ort, all waving the flag of justice. This is really an upstate, downstate divide. And it, I guess if you really took time to analyze that, maybe it's somewhat obvious, you know, the more liberal, left-leaning, downstate mentality, perhaps even mix into that equation the fact that New York City area is more temperate, temperature-wise, than Western New York and right. Buffalo, and, you know, doesn't have the severe weather that we have. And really, you know, there's this kind of ignorance to the fact that we do have severe weather that needs to be considered into the equation of what is a reliable way to generate heat for our citizens. And, you know, when we had the blizzard in a few years ago and we lost people for freezing to death or heart attacks from shoveling, it all came down to the fact that the grid failed us. And we had people that were freezing in buildings and homes that had no backup and no power to get them through the storm. We need to have auxiliary means to heat our buildings and our homes. And the only auxiliary means that makes sense is natural gas with the form of a generator. A generator is a safety mechanism that can kick in and be there when you need it. And that's going to be taken away from us with this movement. And it's a real setback, and it's a slide backwards beyond proportion. The other thing that relates to this discussion is they're moving to electric, and the form of heat will be what's called a heat pump. A heat pump is an electric appliance. It works like a furnace, but it also heats and cools. It's actually a very great invention. The only problem with them is they're electric, so they are expensive to operate. They're expensive to purchase. But they only work well to a 30-degree Fahrenheit threshold. Below 30 degrees Fahrenheit, they don't perform at full capacity. They'll still work, but not at full capacity. So we're going to have situations in Western New York where the temperature is going to be hovering around zero in a brand new home, and these people are going to be uncomfortable in their brand new home. They're going to have to put in supplemental electric heat to be comfortable in their brand new home. Now, does that make any sense? I don't think so. But furthermore, should the power go out in a brand new home as of January 1st, there is nothing to be there for you to back you up with supplemental heat. Your power is out, you're going to freeze in your home.
We're learning a great deal from a very gifted businessman who gives so much back to charities in his community with Rotary, Dominic Cortese, president of Cortese Construction Service Corporation. If you're listening in Clarence or Toronto or Manhattan, drop us a note. Please write to Brian Rusk, Bet AM 1520, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Buffalo, New York, 14226. A little plug here. For over 60 years, the Ampol Legal has been Polonia's newspaper, providing readers with news, feature articles, great columns, and recipes. Get this community newspaper delivered to your home or business each week for less than 70 cents. Visit the website www.ampollegal.com and click on the subscribe menu to order a print or digital edition. That's www.ampollegal.com or call 716-835-9454. That's 716-835-9454 for the Ampol Legal newspaper. Special thanks to those who've called regarding our recent guest, D.A. Dunford, realism artist from Muskoka, Ontario, Kofi Finn Akins, who helps his native homeland of Ghana so much, and Erie County Sheriff John Garcia. Coming up, we'll have Toronto financial leader Yonin Lancelot and Under-Sheriff Bill Cooley on the Rusk Report. A little bit more information about Dominic Cortese. He's a graduate of Canisius College, 1978, with a BA in Political Science and International Relations. He is a past president of the Alumni Association. Dominic Cortese also has completed the Center for Entrepreneurial Program from the University of Buffalo School of Management. He's also a Leadership Buffalo graduate and 40 Under 40 recipient, business leader, president of Cortese Construction Corporation, Dominic Cortese. Let's talk about higher costs for the construction. If there's a home that's $400,000 and it's going to have this electrification, how much more will it cost to the consumer? And then what about monthly or annual costs with electrification rather than natural gas?
There's no question that natural gas is a great bargain. We heat our homes comfortably, and in most cases, it's a few hundred dollars a month. My electric bill came for July, and it was $700 for 1 month in the summer month of July because the air conditioning was running. So you're looking at twice the cost there. The cost of construction is going to go up. I mentioned the 400-amp service requirement. That's doubling the cost of the service, so you're adding another $20,000 to the cost of a home there, assuming that there's capacity to be able to have even the power of that 400-amp service, which is a municipal power grid issue. And then there's the cost of the power plant itself, the heat pump itself. In most cases, you're going to have to put in two for a home of size. Anything over 2,500 square feet is going to need two heat pumps. So now you've got basically two furnaces operating in your home. So that's another $10,000 cost. So across the board, you know, we're looking at $20,000, maybe $30,000 more to build an electric home and probably double the utility cost to operate that electric home.
Don't you think, Dominic Cortese, that some people may think about leaving the state with restrictions like this? Because if people go to a neighboring state and they want to build a home and people work out of their homes with their business, they may be further ahead and maybe put $20,000 or $30,000 in their pocket instead of into electrification. Could we lose population because of this?
This is another true irony to this whole saga. Our governor has professed that we need to build more homes in New York State to house our citizens comfortably. She's talking out of both sides of her mouth because she's a subscriber to the electrification movement. And yet, this is not productive towards that movement of building more homes. It's counterproductive to that movement. So something needs to change in terms of her perception of what this is. Whether this is an appeal to downstaters or whether it's truly a concern for the environment is something that I can't determine.
Now, if we have a listener in South Buffalo or Syracuse or Westchester, and they want to get involved, and they're scared of spending an extra $20,000 or $30,000 on an electrified home, who do they write? Who do they call? How can they get involved? Dominic Cortese.
So, unfortunately, at this point in time, public hearings have expired. The windows have closed for the public's voice to be heard. That closed on October 6th. But I do still encourage our listeners, your listeners, Brian, my listeners, to keep their voice escalated on this topic by keeping their voice in the ear of their state elected officials. That would be their state senators, their state assemblymen, and to call the governor's office and let her know about your displeasure. I think she needs to hear from Western New Yorkers. As you've mentioned, she has turned her back on Western New York, and it needs to be something that she's reminded of, that she's from here.
Let's talk a little about threat to human life. And I think Congressman Langworthy mentioned this on your very good radio show a couple weeks ago about in the blizzard, many lives were saved. People turned down a gas stove during the blizzard if there were 10 below zero and 40 mile an hour winds, that saves lives. And now in the next 5 or 10 years, you're taking away that safety guard for people in a blizzard. And they don't have electricity, and they can't use that gas stove. Let's talk about the threat to human life. Dominic Cortese.
I think there is definitely going to be a threat to human life after January 1st. I think a brand new house built after that date that goes through a calamity in terms of a winter storm. And this might take a while to play out, but my concern is, Brian, that, you know, a brand new house, 100% electric, power goes out, people are living in this new house, and they're frozen out of their house because their power is out. Where are they going to go? What are they going to do? How are they going to stay warm? We've created a scenario of an impoverished depiction. But in a setting that's an oxymoron to that, it's a brand new structure. It should be the latest and greatest in terms of technology, not a homeless institution, which is what it kind of relegates your mind to think, that it's only the poor and the disadvantaged that are stuck out in the cold and not the wealthy that can afford a brand new house. So this is really ironic that we've come to this point where we're reckoning safety against this false perception of a green movement. The green movement may have validity to try and reduce our carbon footprint, but the true irony here is that we're still using natural gas to produce electricity. So where are we more green if that's the case? Again, I said before, wind and solar are great, but they're not as productive, not as reliable as natural gas is to generate electricity. And then you talk about the fragility of the mm-hmm. grid itself. The grid itself has inherent failures built into it to help control the flow of electricity. It doesn't respond well to bad weather. So all of this combined together has plopped into our lap. It's something that we have to live with as New York State residents. And I frankly think that people should take the stand that they're as mad as hell and they're not going to take it anymore and make their voices heard.
We salute Dominic Cortese for fighting for the little guy, and we're going to talk about that as the next question. Again, if you have any thoughts or comments, if you're listening in West Seneca, Syracuse, Long Island, please write to Brian Rusk, Bet AM 1520, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Buffalo, New York, 14226. A little bit more information about Dominic Cortese, president of Cortese Construction Service Corporation. And I had years ago a bathroom done by his company, and the work was excellent. Dominic lives in Clarence, New York, where he is active in the Clarence Rotary Club, where he served as club president and district assistant governor. Dominic Cortese has served as a mentor for a seventh grader at Clarence Middle School and mentoring program through Clarence Rotary. I want to get into this issue about class warfare. It seems that natural gas helps the poor, people who are on fixed incomes, seniors, people who are out of work, disabled, and they can't afford $20,000 or $30,000 to electrify a home and $200 a month extra cost with the electrification instead of natural gas. Isn't this a slight or a penalty to poor people? Dominic Cortese.
So as of now, we're all dealing with increased cost of electricity. The Public Service Commission has allowed the utilities to raise their rates. And this has all been done by design to help the power companies create more capacity in the grid. And so we're all paying more for electricity. The smart meter is detecting every kilowatt that you're consuming more accurately than the old legacy style meters. So we are definitely seeing it already with increased utility costs. And people today, forgetting the fact that we're moving towards more electrification, people today cannot afford their electric bill. I've had callers call my show in tears saying that I don't know what's going to happen here. I can't pay this bill that I have now, and it's only going to get worse. So how is this productive? I don't know. I think it isn't. And I think that the utility rates with electricity have become absurd. Our electric rates are higher than most of the nation. And it's all because the grid is undersized, under capacity, and the utilities are having to fund, through rate increases, the ability to expand the grid.
Dominic Cortese, are we seeing a situation where perhaps an elderly person in their 80s has to choose between either paying for food on the table or this electrification costs? Is it getting that serious, Dominic Cortese?
I hope not, Brian. I truly think that would be disastrous if that were indeed the case. But, you know, the utility representatives that I've had on have said, well, don't worry, if you can't pay your electric bill, we have payment plans.
But so you still have to pay it. You'll still have to pay it.
You still have to pay it, but they have payment plans to help take the sting out of the fact that you're in arrears. So, you know, they also tell you, well, you have to be more energy conscious. Well, okay, that makes sense to a large extent. You know, we should look at ways that our homes may be losing electricity. But at the end of the day, it comes down to the rate that they're charging per kilowatt hour that has just skyrocketed. And no one has really captured the real reason other than the fact that it's all designed to go towards expanding the grid.
Now, Congressman Nick Langworthy was on your show on our sister station, WBEN, with Hammer Time. He's helping you. He's boosting you. He's supporting you, isn't he, Congressman Nick Langworthy?
Yes. Nick is proposing, has a bill drafted. He's working through the House. He has bipartisan support to make this a federal law, and it surrounds what he's calling energy choice. And it makes a world of sense that you should be able to have your choice as to how you power your home. And I have no problem with offering people the choice. And I would frankly think that if you were given the choice, you would stay with natural gas because it is more reliable, more dependable, and it's less a cost. But the idea here is to make this a federal law that New York State doesn't have the right to force electrification. He has bipartisan support in the House, and he's now hoping to go to the Senate with similar support and then make its way to the president's desk for signature and approval, and this would become a law. And I hope that that happens before the end of the year.
Very good. Opposition groups to electrification, are you getting building groups, construction outfits, chambers of commerce to support you, Dominic Cortese?
The New York State Builders Association has been very, very vocal. They've brought lawsuits and they've been shut down in those proceedings. But they're still remaining very hopeful and as I said, vocal. Interesting little fact to kind of go against what we've been trying to do here with educating people. The Builder Association conducted a survey of the average New York Stater and asked them if they knew about what was coming with electrification. And a whopping 95% of them said no, they had no idea.
Terrible.
So this is going to appear in the dark of night on January 1, 2026, and people are going to be up in arms when they go to build a new house and they find that they have to build an electric
house. I'm sorry we have to bring the Rusk Report to a close. We've learned a great deal from the president of Cortese Construction Service Corporation, Dominic Cortese. Special thanks to Kevin Carr, director of production, for the last 20 years. Thank you for enlightening us, Dominic Cortese. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at the Western New York community with news, features, and special guests. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Brian Rusk, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.